Slope is brought to you by stamps.com.
Maybe one of these days.
Frankly, you could do it right now. Just go sign up for the affiliate program at stamps.com and say, put in Ski Slope you sign up for this fantastic service. If you want to ship shit,
All right.
Don't you hear that constantly on podcasts?
I do. Shouldn't we introduce ourselves?
We should, but we can start where we
start with our sponsors. welcome to the Ski Slope. I'm Howie. Wah, maybe. Howard to some. I don't know.
You always preferred Howard. I'm surprised to hear you going right for Howie.
You know,
you actually started correcting people at a point in our relationship.
What? Going from Howie to Howard?
Yeah, you're always like Howard. I'm like, oh, you're Howie.
You know what? It's a bad name either way, because Howie is like, to me at least,
the Jewish names are all that good. Is Alan a good name?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is Alan Pearlstein, Duke.
The Pearl, maybe.
Pearl.
A couple of those. And by the Bullet, maybe, if you knew me in 76 and that was it.
Yeah, fastest dude in the Eagle.
I think Merstein. Merstein and I had that one race where we raced, I think, 8 times in a row or something because we kept tying. And then he eventually beat me, which was like, I should have just lost the first time out, you know.
Well, we didn't have the photo finish.
I don't know. You know what it was? Actually... Anyway, we're talking about our camp experiences, and this would be Camp Swago, and the specific year I'm talking about is 1976. So I forget who our group leader was. That was my first year there. And
what year is this? Eagles?
1976. Yeah.
It's Elliot. No, isn't that the year we?
No. That's when
we
were counselors.
Yeah,
it's 83.
Oh, Eagles was when Dave Baker was
something or other.
No, he was a counselor in my bunk. Dave Baker.
Dave Baker was a counselor, but this I'm talking about the guy who was our group leader.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to remember. Rich was the other counselor in my bunk. I don't remember.
I don't know. He was there for 1 year. He wasn't a memorable guy, but he liked me.
Apparently.
No. At least by name he's not. Maybe by other means. But he liked me. So I think Merstein probably kept beating me by a little bit, and he just kept calling it a draw. So
nice.
I didn't realize this until later.
I really
in life.
Don't remember Merstein as being that
very fast.
Like,
I don't either. I'm surprised I lost to him, but anyway,
yeah,
I did.
Hey, listen. So Howie and I met that year. I guess that was
that's when we met.
That was your first year. I started Swago in '72 as a frosh, and I went all the way through the year we were counselors, which is what I'm not good with the years. What year?
Yeah, that was '83. 19 years, 30 years ago. This summer, well, I went to Camp Ranger in 1972.
You went to another camp.
You didn't know that?
I think I did know that.
All right,
I just don't remember.
You don't remember me being in bunk?
Sorry, I knew that a bunch of times in my life.
And it's funny because like I look back at that summer, and I guess I was comparable to like being a frosh at Swago, and it was like it was fun. Like I remember it in a good way. I mean, I had a couple of bad memories, but overall it was good. But I didn't go back, and I don't remember why I didn't go back. And then I didn't go back to sleepaway camp until 76, and then I came to Swago.
What year was Ranger?
Ranger was 72.
So you got a 4 year gap.
Yeah, going to day camp. I went to day camp.
Went to Pierce.
No. First, I went to Kings Point. Was a day camp, and then to Pierce. I think I went to Kings Point for like 3 years, and then Pierce for one, and then Swago, and then.
Now, who was it that? Who was David Feldman? Larry Jacobs.
Michael Schnapp was my conduit because I was on a bus. It was sixth grade. Last day of school, by the way. And Schnapp was on my bus, and he's saying how, like, oh, we should hang out after school. I'm like, that'd be great. Come on over. You know, we'll go swimming in my pool that I had at the time. And
you're still bitter.
Yeah. only because I suffered through like that pole being constructed, and I had it for like 3 weeks, and then my parents split up, and then we moved.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't want to start the podcast off on a fucking downer, so let's move on. Anyway,
downer. You had 3 weeks of the next pool.
It was like
you see it one way, I see it as a good 3 weeks.
Listen, it's all good. So Schnapp's telling me when he comes over, I think how he's going to. sleepaway camp, and he tells me he's going to sleepaway camp with he names off guys that like go to our school. So he names Feldman, who I didn't really know at the time. He names John Powell, Boog, and Larry Jacobson. And the funny thing is, I was friendly with both John Powell and Larry Jacobson. I had no idea that they were friends themselves. So I was like, oh, this sounds very interesting. So I don't know what happened, but momentum gained. My parents, I guess, called Dave. They were more than happy to have me, you know, go to camp, even though there was like 6 days until camp started. Right. And
well, they were getting, I mean, not to go. They were getting forced, obviously.
I guess, you know.
Start there, but I have a feeling that would have been easier.
I guess it was an occupancy. Yeah. And, you know, a trunk went up in the bus, and Lenny went too. Lenny went that same year. So my parents must have been psyched.
Lenny was fine age-wise. You know,
yeah, no, absolutely.
What about Stacy? Did she go?
Stacy didn't go that year, but she went, I forget when she started. It might have been 77 or 78.
So I started the same year. My brother, then, he started. Not Mark. He was like a Jade, like, you know, or there was no Jays, I think. He was one of the – no, actually, that was my year. I think Kevin Jampolos was a Frosh, but then he went –
You mean Rocky.
Rocky. Then he became a
Pre-Sly Stallone, by the way.
Frosh to Jay, back to Frosh. Like, that's how young he was.
Really? Really? Yeah. We'll let you dip your feet in the middy water, but then – or Frosh. I didn't know from Jays, I don't think. I don't think there were any Jays.
It was, you know, well, as camp – size of camp dwindled. Consolidation. For Jays did as well. So
what got you to Oswego?
I'm feeling like an idiot because I'm blanking on his name right off the top of my head. But
was it our group leader, Mama Regals?
David Fatel mm-hmm. is a.
I know him from graffiti. I think.
Well,
there's some bench in the social hall that has his name.
He's very active in the reunion, and he is. You know, I feel wrong not knowing exactly how he's related.
David Fatel, we love you.
Right,
don't take this the wrong
we
way.
We love you. And he was just a huge fan and loved Oswego. And his mother, I guess, and my grandmother, I think that was the connection. And that's how we ended up there.
All right.
And the rest is history. So just to step back a touch. So, you know, one of the things that I know brought moi and myself to ski slope, we were some of the first people, or only people, that actually like enjoyed listening to AM radio like at night. And I'm not even talking about sports radio. It's
no,
like,
it wasn't
we used
sports.
To get excited. There was like
this
Larry
is way
King,
pre-FAM.
Larry King, yeah, it was on AM radio.
This was like Barry Farber shit, right?
And then there was this guy Jim Bohannon.
Yes, and I remember the name.
And every so often they'd actually talk about a subject, and for I think our entire lives that we've known each other, we've always wondered why there isn't more like intellectually stimulating conversation. And I'm not being pretentious here, and telling you
but here it is.
Blow you all away with our intellectually stimulating conversation. But I know you found this before I did, but like I've found like I like listening. Like for me now, podcasts are, you know, it's just time shifted radio basically, and the variety that's out there and the kinds of things you can listen to are cool. And like when you were into it, I think before I was, and so that's what led us here, just to give our backstory.
Well, it's funny, I have a very specific memory though of like there was one summer of 85, I think, where we lived at NYU in the dorms, and it was at that time that we shared a dorm together, so we were listening to the AM radio at the same time. And it was, I don't know what show it was, I don't know who the host was, but there was a guest who was a quote-unquote futurist.
Right.
Do you remember this?
I don't remember it. But I do remember, like, at that time, like,
all right.
Generally, I don't remember this.
And the guy was, like, making predictions about what would happen 20, 25 years in the future. And I don't know what his predictions were or if they held true, but we loved it. And it was just like, yeah, this is the greatest. How is there not more of this? Like, how come there's not just more listening in on like good, you know, deep conversation? So yeah.
And I guess like with the internet just came the individual distribution, like before, you know, think about anything, even movies or TV shows, but there's not a lot of good quality of any of that going on, so it makes sense on radio that there really wasn't.
Right. But and we used to have it though, like at camp, you know, obviously.
What, on our camp radio station?
On WSGO, baby. When you weren't spinning Supertramp, you know, it was like anyway,
well, the ski slope was the is that where you were leading into?
You read my mind, baby.
Where, you know, ski slope for the Swatona girls that don't know. That was where the Swago seniors hung out. Did we let Inters hang? I mean,
it was a pretty like friendly place. If I remember, I don't remember anyone sort of like saying from the ski slope. It was actually the most like pacifistic, like if that's a word, or gentle place in camp, because I felt like everyone was sort of like you'd go there and you'd lean on these. On these horribly painful sort of like broomstick things. What were those things like on the ski slope? Well, bristles.
Did anyone? That was the actual slope.
I would. That's where I'd hang out. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I should have gone. Yeah, but I actually would lean back
actually,
on that.
Like enjoyed the wood part.
All right,
the planks of wood. Like
I must have gotten a late seat.
You know how. It's because you were booted out as mayor that you were no longer.
I was never. You know what? That was David. That was David Allen, 1981, 1980. There was an issue. I almost lost the seat, but kept it.
So at some point we have to give out a phone number to people, so if they would like to call in, we haven't figured out yet. Although we're not live, so people really couldn't call in.
This might be a complete act of two people being ridiculously narcissistic, thinking like, y'all gonna listen to us and stuff, but.
I guarantee you that. Okay, here's what I'm gonna do right now.
Go ahead.
Johnny Lieberbaum, I know you're gonna be listening to this.
You know, be the biggest schmuck in the camp though.
No, don't do that stuff. Come on, Johnny Lieberbaum.
Got me a little nervous. Yeah.
No, of course not.
Oh my God.
Let's edit that one out, man.
You know, it's interesting to see a couple of people who are. You're a big Facebook user, and I am expecting you to promote. But
as long as you cover us on MySpace, I'm
Johnny Lieberbaum has decided or just enjoys curating. Love stories.
I made a comment about that. That like, every Sunday.
The emotional Sunday love story.
Like that.
About two people and their interactions and he really loves.
Well, you know, it's that one story that they have in the style section about love and romance.
Right.
And like every week he posts about that.
Thing.
But I love that. I love that Johnny Lieberbaum, the Swago guy who you would never have thought would be the guy to be posting
about. Another
guy
that clearly I would be shocked if our good friend and major influence in our life, Stephen Popkin.
Ah.
Like he's going to be listening to this. Okay, so Steve, you've now, like, you're in a suit. Like, you have, like, a jacket and tie, I think, on in your Facebook thing. And you're, like, curating as well. Like, you seem to want to pump out the old New York things. Very interesting to see. There's a lot of interest from people to do that. And it's interesting to see who's done that.
Now, listen, both guys, great people. I mean, the great thing about Swago, and I guess it holds true to other summer camps too, like you think it's very unique, but I think it's just a matter of like the bonding process. You know, you go to a place and it's like, you know, for 10 months out of the year, you live with your mom and your dad, unless you lose your pool and then just your mom. But anyway, you know, and then there's these 2 months where you go and, you know, you say, well, they're my camp, my bunkmates, my campers. But, you know, essentially, for 2 months out of the year, you're living with other people. You know, you're living with them. I mean, from day to night, there's really no escape. So.
And you're not living with your parents.
And you're not living with your
parents.
So you have this incredible sense of, like, you know, of selfhood. You know, and then you've got to sort of also fit in with your peers, and it's such a great exercise, I think. You know, as a youth, to like make yourself
independent,
a better person. You know, just as you know, as a kid then, and like as an adult now, I think. And to get back to my original point, I think like the people I've met from Swig are just like some of the greatest people I know. Like Lieberbaum, Popkin. I mean, guys that are like.
Yeah,
you know, have
authentic.
This like authentic.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was the word I was going to use. This authenticity to him. And yes, like Lieberbaum may surprise me that he's into the style section romance thing, but that doesn't alter, you know, my overall feeling about John Lieberbaum.
Well,
It enhances it.
Sure.
Well, funny John Lieberbaum story if I can.
Please.
I'm at the Diplomat Hotel like in 1979, I think.
Right.
And all of a sudden, like, you know, it's like there's like a teen lounge or teen something going on there, you know? And all of a sudden I see Lieberbaum and this other guy and they start like DJing The Idolmaker. Do you know The Idolmaker at all?
No,
it's great. It's a great movie. And why it's funny is it's also the first movie I've ever saw with Susan, who happens to be my wife. But anyway, Lieberbaum comes with this other guy and they're like, and the other guy's like the DJ, and Lieberbaum gets up like on stage and starts just air singing.
Right.
The song, like not really singing or air guitaring,
right,
but just air singing. And great job by John Lieberbaum. So there. I mean, style section, like kudos, and Idolmaker kudos to Johnny.
You know, it takes a certain person who has
the wherewithal.
Yeah, the guts to
I mean, if you're going to be legendary, and he was. I mean, the guy started a dialect, you know?
He did. Johnny Lieberbaum was, for us in our era, you know, he was an icon. There's no question about it.
Clearly. But that's what the great thing about camp is. It's like, and no knock on John, it's easy to be like an icon or be on that continuum of being iconic. Like, people get to know you, respect you, like you. You'll get your nickname. You'll get the sort of things that people dig about you. And it's just easier to deal in a society that's that size than, I guess, in an elementary school or a town or a high school or what have you, you know? And
don't you really think it's just more where you are? It's not the size. You're isolated. It's just such a, it's just, it's like, your experience on a day-to-day level is just enclosed in this one area.
Yeah.
So you're not exposed to anything
else. Yeah, but that's it. That's the society that a camp is. It has its own culture in a way. And you know, beyond, like, listen, there's one thing about guys who, like, are in your group and, you know, or in your bunk even, you know, like, there's that sort of, like, what I was saying before, like, familyhood. But even aside from that, like, the guys that are, like, older than you or younger than you, you know, like,
right.
there's still this sort of cultural connection,
right,
to them.
Like, even the guys we don't know that we see at the reunion, and you just know you saw, like, I don't know, like a guy like Scoreboard,
right,
you know,
right, good,
like,
example.
I know
but
him?
I know people, but I have
over with him a little bit. I don't know him at all, but I know him,
right you know, or there's the side that there's this appreciation, this mutuality that's definitely in common. And the funny thing about a guy
so
like
Scoreboard, if you're listening,
hey man,
much love.
He's a Facebook friend. So
is he?
He is.
How many Facebook friends do you have now?
Do I have? I just added one yesterday. I'm really,
really
excited.
Really excited.
I think I'm, I don't think. I know. I'm 432.
432.
432.
That's actually not an insane amount.
No.
Like kids now, like, if you don't have 1,000, that's...
My daughter has like 1,400.
Yeah, Bert's like, got some number like that, 1,100, something like that.
Okay, let me make one. I know, like, this is our first sort of cast, and so we're going to keep it to the camp thing, but just one cultural,
we're
societal.
To camp things.
Well, yeah, look at that. Look at the freedom we have here. This isn't WSGO, baby. We can spin beyond Supertramp. Anyway, what was I going
to
say?
You wanted to tell me one observation.
Oh, the Facebook thing. Here's where I think Facebook, like, I like Facebook. I admit it. And, like, at first I was sort of like, when people would say, like, oh, you're on Facebook a lot, I'd be like, so, you know, it'd be an embarrassment and be like, yeah, well, not all the time, you know, you defend yourself and stuff. But,
well,
you actually
are on it all the time because it's on your phone. You're on it all the time.
That's what
and
I don't understand. Like, wait, you haven't,
you're on it.
Yeah,
you're
like, you haven't installed the thing on your phone where you get a notification
no,
if somebody,
absolutely not. I
you
do
haven't.
Not give a shit. It's installed. I have Facebook's app on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But quite frankly, Facebook is turning into a cesspool. Let me tell you not to interrupt your story.
Yeah, you guys can't see the hand motions here, but.
Okay. He's giving me the yes. That was okay. I'm involved in internet marketing. That's what I do to make a living. When we all came together in 1999, was that when it was? A message board was started.
Right.
Spigos Raton or whatever.
Right.
It led to a reunion, the first one. When we came together at that time, it was amazing to me that, like, I think like 900 people from Swago or some number in the well into the hundreds, not mm-hmm. 1,000 probably, into the, found each other in weeks and just in a burst had this intense thing happen where everyone just we're going to hopefully try and get some of it back out in the discussions that we're doing. But it was cool. To me, it was the power of social media.
I mean, before you even knew what social media was.
Yeah,
I mean, it's amazing
it
to think about
board,
like, what a precursor
it was. Right. It was the first time I'm like, oh, wow, this is unbelievable. Like, you can aggregate people that quickly just through, digital communication. So everyone goes on Facebook and you get your thing where you reconnect with this certain group of people. But I think the vast majority after that, just like our website, go on their way. I don't think that many people are as actively involved.
Well, I think it's hard because I think people don't know what to do, or what people do is so idiosyncratic. You know, they'll be the one person that, you know, all they do is post pictures of their families, you know, their vacations, or there's the one person that just posts.
Is that really? I mean, I'm sure I'm going to offend a few people who are Facebook people as we go along. Although I don't know, but taking pictures of food, sorry, I just don't get what the fuck is pictures of your food. And first of all, not only is it, do I not get it, but it's not like the picture of the food is so beautiful. It's not like it's oh my God, that picture is amazing.
I'm thinking of launching a career as a food photographer.
I have to tell you that, you know, our mutual friends, there's a lot of people that like taking pictures of food. I don't get that. taking pictures of where you just happen to be on vacation, it's like, unless you have a picture of something truly interesting, you know, whatever, something beautiful or special, fantastic, share that with people. But just your mundane pictures of here's the gang, wherever.
I agree with you.
Why would anyone care? Who likes pictures that much? Just to see the same people in a different cluster.
Here's how I've come to be like non-judgmental in that regard, is that I know there are specific websites that will, you know, Flickr or what have you, that will store your photographs for you, you know, and then it's in the cloud. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, and I've lost enough photos on a hard drive from 7 years ago where I didn't back up and it's not saved. So,
well, Facebook's just in the cloud too.
It's in the cloud. Exactly. So I kind of feel like, all right, you know what? Maybe they're just, you know, when you see somebody uploads, you know, 87 photos from their, you know, recent
trip
to wherever.
They're just archiving their shit.
Yeah. I feel like it's just a convenient place to put it, you know, like, all right.
No problem with that, but,
All right. So maybe they're not, you know, maybe they're not putting it up there to like, you know, to show everybody. Maybe it's just sort of a way to...
Do you think
a
lot of people do that?
I don't know. I mean, I've kind of almost thought myself, like, oh, this would be a great way of saving stuff because, you know, I know my password. I'm not going to lose that. It's not, you know, it's like, you know, it's...
Well, I know that you often put things out there that are just meant to you know, trying to be interesting and observant of things going on in the world, and you put it out there, and you get a lot of responses. You get a lot of back and forth. And if everyone's mission was to put interesting things out there, then it would be far more interesting. But it's not. Most people,
I agree with you.
It's mundane stuff.
I think it's more fun. Like, again, I'm not going to be judgmental about who does what, but I almost feel like it's
judgmental.
No, I hear.
I just don't care. I mean,
it's more of an apathy.
And let me just say one other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
And you can't log on to Facebook now. And look, this is my industry, so I'm not knocking it. But the number of ads that are being, especially in the mobile. It's like there's too much just to go through now as it is.
Now
you're shoving ads in there, you know.
Those ads have to is there a worth to them? Like the ads that I get on Facebook, unless something like unconsciously is happening to me based on Facebook ads, like they never spur me to do anything.
Okay, well, I'm not going to get into a long conversation about this right now, but the answer is yes.
No.
I'm not going to get into this right now. The answer is yes. And this is all I'll
check,
say.
Check yes on your
This
blog.
Is all I'll say about that, about that subject, and we should have a conversation about it. But every single person I meet, every person I meet, I've yet to meet a person that tells me that they are influenced by advertising. And in addition, the number of people that are adamant to me that they just are not ever influenced by advertising. And I just always say, well, two things. Like, you just, well, if you go to Google and you're looking for a Sony PC3X100 camera and a link comes up for it, you'd click on it.
That's
not an ad.
But that person will probably say, I'm not being persuaded by advertising. I'm searching, you know? Like, that's a different process.
You still went to B&H Photo versus Walmart versus so on. They spent money on advertising to win you over. And that's like a sharp example of where you obviously your need is being served. But I'm like, look, Google makes $6 billion a quarter by people clicking on ads.
Right.
Okay. Is there any more subject that needs to go on? They're not all fake clicks with people. Okay. There's a few of those. Okay. How can people not be influenced by advertising? Is you going and searching for, and I don't even want to just use search. I make sales happen across a number of different channels, but nonetheless, let's not go on that today. That's not a key subject for the day.
Back to Johnny Lieberbaum.
So Steve Popkin, I like talking about Popkin. Popkin is an authentic fellow.
I don't think Popkin realizes his impact.
I agree with you on that. I totally do. Popkin was introduced me and Moi and others to alternative music. To interesting music. I mean, he has a broad range of interests, as I'm sure you see on his, you know, Popkin's the one who runs into Silent Bear up at the up at the Save the Hudson Music, whatever festival they're at. And Popkin's also one that introduced. I mean, do you remember listening to Earl Chin on like some Newark radio station?
All I wanted for like our bumper was like an Earl Chin, like we are the Mighty Diamonds.
The Clash, Elvis, everything. Psychedelic Furs. We love that album.
Everything like, at least from my perspective, 30 years
Joe
after
Jackson,
the fact.
We're not
like,
even saying Joe Jackson. I mean, you know.
And in like more popular, like Squeeze too, everything that was sort of, you know, Vanguard, but like, and stood the test of time. I mean, it's not like it's not like he got us into Adam Ant, you know? It's like,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
That didn't happen.
Although Steve would say, there's some good tracks from Adam Ant.
There's the bootleg in here.
Yeah. I'm telling you, he does his one version where he's on stage with so and so.
No, I mean, listen, he added that whole, like, sort of punk new wave.
Absolutely.
Aspect to all of us, you know, and like going to like the Clash shows at Bonds.
Remember that was awesome.
And feeling that sense of rebellion because the cops are telling us to go.
This we have our little story. But we all met Popkin to see the first show of the Psychedelic Furs at Irving Plaza. At first, we're hanging out and having drinks. Were we having a drink? We went into the bar and
we were having a drink. This is a day you could be like 15, 16,
yeah.
And go have a drink at the bar.
Well, of course, because all you had to do was go to Times Square and get your New York State ID that said you were, you know.
Yes.
So here's my ID. What is this?
It's the New York
State
ID.
What
it's
else
photo,
would I be
man.
Giving you? It's a photo.
And it's funny because that had a photo and like the New York license at the time didn't.
Right. It's more official than a license. Why would I have a license?
Come on. You got photographic evidence here.
Man. Come on.
I'm 19.
Yeah, he was sitting at the bar, whatever. That was cool. And then, you know, it was their first show in America, I think. Like, I don't know. Maybe
it was.
It was.
No,
I think
you're right.
You know?
And like, in Richard Butler, who's their lead singer, is like at the bar too,
yeah,
right? having
that's
a beer.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We're sort of just hanging out and like, oh, I think it's him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I'm not going to.
I do remember.
He stood the test of time in an interesting way, that band.
To Alan's credit, young man or not, and he's a year younger than I am.
I know where you're going.
Ah, right?
Yes, I do.
Some woman approaches him on the dance floor.
I do not know where you're
going. A little sudden turn. Anyway, some woman approaches him who was, I remember being older than us and just says to you, Psychedelic first. Are they really psychedelic? And you're like, no, not really.
Oh, this is a story about the girl than it is about me.
Well, it was. I mean, she just sort of like, you know, when you're, you know, all of a sudden, like, well, listen, we're just psyched to be in a bar in Manhattan at like 2 in the morning and thinking like, well, you know, wow.
They didn't
this is
come
great.
On until like 12:30. Like, it was late.
It was
like,
so it was late. It was the longest night.
So then, you know, Howie and I end up going back to his mom's little house.
No pool. Running through the sprinklers, man, you know?
And we arrive at the Roslyn train station and it's
Manhasset train station.
Why? Because there was no more Roslyn
train. Roslyn train sucked. You know, I never took the Roslyn train.
Fine, Manhasset and I don't know. We get there, and I guess there's no taxis. It's 4:30 in the morning.
Why? No taxis are open at 4:30?
I don't know. There's no taxis. And some guy, who was the guy? Was he on the train with us? Who was this creepy guy?
I hope he was, man. I hope he was.
And I remember we get in the back of his, was like, was it a station wagon? I don't know what it was. We're in the back seat. And he's like, guys.
Well, I was to your left, you were to my right. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And he says, guys, put on your seatbelts.
and this is before, like, there's like seatbelt legislation.
And I take my seatbelt and I pull it across me. And I remember, like, I don't click it in.
He's ready to make his move, man.
I'm like, I'm prepared. And then all of a sudden, and you know this, like the song Dire Straits' Sultans of Swing comes on, and this guy must have long fingernails, and he's just like tapping his like dashboard. I might have embellished that, but he's making a noise, so he had to have something. He had hard fingernails at the minimum. And he's like tapping to this song, and I'm like, we are the Sultans. And I was just like looking at you. I was freaked out.
I know. We were like, all right, if the guy makes a move, like, what are we going to do? And it's funny because Sultans of Swing to this day, right? I mean, does that evokes
that
car
what I
ride?
Think about. Always.
Always. It's all
I don't
that
know
song
what
represents.
This guy looks like, but I remember creepy.
And it's a long enough song, Sultans of Swing, where it might have lasted the entire car ride from Manhasset to my house.
He was probably just some nice guy.
No, I mean, listen, he didn't, there was no creepiness emanated from the guy other than...
Wow, I was nervous.
Right. Other than the, you know, put your seatbelts on, you know.
And the fact that at any point he could have driven us anywhere.
Right. And he gave us a free ride. Like, I don't know. Like, I consider myself a kind guy. Like, when I offer two 16-year-olds a ride.
Nowadays, I wouldn't simply because of, like, what it would... Just, I wouldn't...
Right.
It just wouldn't be right. I'd say, can I call your parents? You know.
Exactly. Well, we'd have cell phones now, too. So it'd be easy to call them. But... And it wasn't like we volunteered to him, like, hey, man, can you help us out? Can you give us a ride somewhere? He was just, hey, do you need a ride? So it was that whole sort of like...
I remember we were like looking around because, you know, in, out there they have like a taxi location at like the train stations. Right. And we were looking and like, I think he just saw us. He was just nice.
No.
I was scared. Right. But it is to this day, Sultan's a swing.
So, yo, man, if you're out there listening, thank you.
Dude, yeah, if you're a cool guy. If you ended up being a molester, well... Thanks for leaving.
He's like, I was going to molest him, but that one guy didn't buckle his seatbelt.
And so he was kind of tall. I was in the way. Yeah,
was he?
No, I was.
Oh, you were.
I was ready to take on this molester. Anyway. Our first segue in our podcast.
Right?
So, yeah, we're... That was so that.
So we're giving kudos to Popkin.
Yeah, Popkin was the man.
And Eddie too. I mean, Eddie almost gets shortchanged by the Pop. Like this is where Popkin's really cool.
Eddie
Eddie
was different. I mean, I love Eddie. Eddie's.
I think he gets short shrifted though.
But, in what way?
Because I think Eddie also like. I mean, we think about Popkin bringing the stereo, Popkin bringing the records in 1980. But like Eddie brought just as many records to my, as far as I know, I believe. Like whenever this is what's cool about Popkin too is like whenever I compliment Popkin about this like. You don't understand like what an incredible influence you were on me in terms of music and, to this day, you got me into it, you know. And he's always defers. He's like, "Well, Eddie too. Like Ramones were Eddie, you know." And it's like, it's so humble, you know. It's like that's a, you know, that's like that beautiful side that you sort of like, you know. It wasn't enough you got Eddie, me into music.
But
you also,
I agree with you. I mean, definitely Eddie was. I guess I never thought about Eddie introducing me to music. I guess I saw Eddie being into a certain type of music. And I was attracted to that too, like about the music he was into. I'll tell you another person who, and I you know, someone we both love, David Feldman. Just and getting back to Facebook, maybe I like it more than I think.
You know, I'm not bringing it up, man.
David Feldman introduced me to Pink Floyd in a way. David Feldman owned the CD to Pink Floyd. At the beginning of CDs, before he owned a CD player, he needed to have. He was like, and he introduced us in our, in, for me at least. I don't know.
No, me too.
Everyone
me too.
Dark Side of the Moon, whatever. But our counselor year, he turned me on to like, you know, and I knew The Wall, but you know, he turned me on to the Fletcher Memorial,
Final Cut,
and I still to this day love that album. David's, however, I don't have. My taste with David over, you know, I love that introduction.
It's not 100%.
Yeah, hardly. And no, I mean, I don't even know how broad his, I don't really know how broad his taste is, but he is so into Rush. And I was just loving seeing his younger brother, who's awesome too, Peter.
Right.
Peter's on just like as, just taking as into pictures.
I thought the same thing.
As much, and I'm like, that's fucking cool that these guys.
Right. I thought the same thing. It's like, oh, you know, it's almost like cute, you know. But like Peter's like 40 something years old at this point. But I'm like, oh, that's so cute that like he's in Rush just as much.
It's authentic. Like,
it is. It is. And David is authentic. And like
definitely.
The most authentically meticulous guy I know. I mean, he was a guy who like he'd make you a tape like in, you know, 1979.
He'd have a beautiful cover on it.
Have a beautiful cover. Like everything was, it wasn't calligraphy, but it was like almost as good. And then like you would check off like Dolby Noise Reduction C, you know, if you use no, you know, as opposed to me where it's like, you know, my cassettes were like, there was no case.
Right.
They were just sort of like strewn and hopefully like I could still see like, is it the Rolling Stones or the Clash? Like I'm not quite sure, you know, so.
All right, well, we're going to take a break right now. Can we pause for one
absolutely,
second?
Absolutely, absolutely.
We'll be back in a moment. I have to go to the bathroom.
Well, there you go, man. Right. That's what happens on these things. Peace. Whatever. We're non-pause. We're back. We're back.
So, hey, thanks. It's a pleasure to be back.
Alan had to reorder some stuff. Legal stuff.
Look, we're hanging out. We're having a drink. We're adults. We're allowed to have a drink. It's not like we're not going to talk about it.
We're adults twice over.
And I happen to be a fan of tequila. Tequila is, if you're a drinker, have a social drink along the way in life. Tequila happens to be the up liquor.
I can't find my drink.
That's because I took it.
You know, here I am talking about camp and stuff, and the man's stealing my tequila. But
So we got really good equipment. I have to take.
I don't know if it's really good. We don't know anything yet.
All right. Just first off, the thing's like a foot by a foot, and it's got like maybe 40 knobs on it and like 30 jacks to go in and out of. That's cool. That's like a series.
I already own this though.
This thing you owned already?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'll be back.
And now this was a mixer that I bought, I don't know, years and years and years ago for like MIDI recording. I like to do musician stuff, so that was good for this. But it works out now too.
You know, to that end, music's been a big part of this conversation already, and we should probably.
And it's a big part of our lives.
It was. And Howie, Howie's one of those guys that. I hope this comes out the right way.
Oh no,
because it's a total compliment.
Oh shit.
He's the kind of guy who you could probably give any instrument and he'll figure it out. Like, he knows, he's got rhythm, he's got a feel for it. And, you know, that's like, I know, I play the guitar, I'm very average. My best quality is that Howie and I make up fun, cool songs that I think have,
We have an EP from 1985 that we still need to sort of get the master.
But I can't even tune I can't even tune a guitar.
No.
Like, without a tuner.
Really? You can't determine by ear? Like, if it's like...
I can't set the first one up? No. How do you know what the... No. Like, can I, like, know that...
Well, no, that's... I mean, yeah. If you don't have, like, a bass point from which to start, sure. But you can tune everything to each other, though, once you
After
know.
It goes, I can. I do struggle sometimes. Like, sometimes
I think everybody does.
It.
I know.
Oh,
I
it's just, not just me? Like, that's like...
You know what? This is a great topic, because I'd be curious to know from musicians generally. Like,
Johnny Liebner, we like your opinion.
John, chime in. But, yeah, there are days where tuning is just this incredibly easy. Like, of course, it's just this. And then there's days it's just you're lost. It's
everything. Whatever, it's everything.
There's an energy to everything, and whether you're in it or you're not.
Exactly.
But maybe we're getting a little too deep for the
first.
Nonetheless,
that there's a... I don't have the ear. I've never had the... This is more... This isn't about me. This is about Howie's... You've got a real, I think, knack for it, and I've always respected that.
Well, thank you. You know what? You've never quite said that to me before, and I'm touched.
Let me tell everybody another little story that I told my brother. We were up at a little Pearlstein family getaway playing golf, and this is true. This is something I've always remembered. Marty Levitt. This is a Marty Levitt story.
Great man.
He was a great man.
He was.
I remember I was in his wood shop in the Arts and Crafts.
Making some product.
Oh, no. It wasn't a product. Actually, I had cut out a whale. Right? And it was cut out with one of those little jigsaw things. And obviously, the quality of my cut was weak.
Oh, you used the jigsaw or Marty?
No, the hand one, not the jigsaw. One that made the big smell.
Right, the saw just flying over.
Not the one that...
You got to wear the goggles and stuff, man. Yeah.
No, this is, just that little, that weird kind of like, I don't know how to describe it, like that kind of thing with the handle.
Yeah.
Thin blade.
I remember that thing. It had that, it was like the letter D on a handle.
It was like a big letter D, and it had the big opening because you needed that in order for, to get into places, to go cut out wood, to carve in. And so obviously I my whale was a little distorted, I'm sure. But nonetheless, it was jaggedy, like the edge was jagged, and I was using a file to try to smooth it out. And
it's the only way.
But I was just boom, 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 back and forth, using the file fast, mm-hmm. getting nowhere. And Marty came over.
Uh-oh.
And he said, Alan, you might not have said my name.
He has a proverb. He said, son.
Hold on.
Son.
Hold on. Speaking of son, that's
bad. Oh, here we go.
Let's put us on hold.
Pausing, y'all.
Please. Thank you. Coming.
Now we're back.
One of the things that cracks me up in New York is, like, you get to know some delivery guys.
Yeah.
And, like, restaurants that know you. And, like, so this guy comes to deliver, and I'm not an alcoholic, just to be clear.
He just knows the alcohol delivery
every
guy.
Now and then, whatever. And I hear as he's walking down the hall, some girl who's going to another apartment's like, hey, how are you?
He's a very popular man.
Well, he brings the liquor.
Nah, listen, Manhattan's great. You can get
pretty much whatever you want delivered.
For sure. So where were we just before the tequila delivery? I thought we were on something good.
We were on the Beatles and Jake,
And Steely Dan and Zappa. Yeah.
Zappa music.
I
hate going to, I was invited by Bergie. So I have a good friend, Bergie. He went to Equinunk, and he, wrote the senior alma mater. He's one of us, but from Equinunk. And one of my closest friends went to college with him. And he's a huge Eagles fan, and he invited me to the Eagles. And I have to say, I'm 48 years old, huge Eagles
really?
Fan.
Really? It doesn't quite mesh. I see him more as like the gung-ho Springsteen guy.
No, he's a dead jam band, but he all likes right, the that Eagles, too. That too, right? And I go to the Eagles concert, and all I can think of is, fuck, man, it's a bunch of 60-year-old people, and sad. I don't want to be part of that. You know, this is superficial and whatever, but I like a lot of, I still am into alternative music. I go see a lot of music.
No, you're good that way. You're good that way.
We see a lot of bands together. And, you know, it's a lot of 20-somethings, 30-somethings, and whatever. Like, that's not really that relevant. I quite frankly wish I could find bands that had a lot of 30 and 40-somethings that were, but I just don't, like, easy listening. I'm like, how can you not like the Eagles? I'm like, it's not that I don't like them. It's just like the whole experience to me is boring. I feel out of place there. And listening to the Eagles live, you might as well give me a fucking record.
Right.
Record, sorry.
Right. You know. I kind of feel that way about, you know, listen, I don't mean to diss live performance, but I kind of feel like, that way about a lot of music.
You do.
I kind of feel
I
like
love the energy of live music.
I kind of feel like music is about this sort of like, you know, the sound that's created.
Right.
And the sound that's created is the thing that you hear and then interpret and
you don't
and,
think
and
it's
get
about
moved
the performance
by.
At all, though. I mean, there's so many
there
times
is.
Where like the energy of it, like you, the Clash didn't sound when we saw them live. Well, I mean, think about rap music, which sucks live, right? But,
right.
Like, it's a different experience seeing something live. Like
it is.
And the Clash, they don't sound the same way. I mean, obviously, it's the same songs, but when you hear live songs of a lot of bands, it just doesn't sound. It's totally different.
And I think
track.
And I think there's, like, a wide variance. I think it could sound, much better or it could sound much worse.
I agree with you. And some sound like there's this band I like, the XX. They're just this chill, electronic-y kind of whatever band. I've seen them a shitload of times live, and I've even gone with Burke. It was an awesome experience.
That's great.
Going. They've just perfected sounding like their album live.
Oh, really?
And that's cool. And they sort of have to, because if they didn't do that, they would suck live.
This is going to bring a basic here, acoustic show.
Yeah, but it's it's definitely a, I like just the energy of, I hate Broadway. This is something you and I but every time you go, I totally appreciate the energy of the performances and the performers and the talent. And I get something from that. I fall asleep halfway through on most of them. Like, I find them fucking boring as shit.
I think that's true with music. I think, you know, the energy of the performance that's brought. Because I think that's true with music in terms of, like, if you're playing something, your song, and you're into it, and it's great, like, you're moved by it. You're going. But I just feel like acting on stage is a sort of, I don't know, archaic thing. Like, we don't, you know, and I think everyone's sort of like, it's the Emperor's
really?
New Clothes that, like, people
no,
go and see it.
I don't
no,
think that at all. I feel
I
like
think seeing a
that's
movie,
like saying, like,
seeing a movie is such a more advanced form
no, I don't
of
agree.
that
to
medium.
To me, it's more about the personal experience. For me, I hate talking on the phone.
Hate it. You know what? I found guys generally hate talking on the phone.
I love being in person with the people I really care about. I don't like being with people I don't care about. But
you're so unique.
No, a lot of people can fucking circulate with a lot of people.
No, I hear you.
I have a good number of good friends, like really good quality friends. But beyond that circle, I don't have the patience. I really don't like to make a lot of effort for a group beyond, you know, I don't need the second tier that much.
My problem is I don't like the small talk. Like, I don't like making, you know, chatter with people like at cocktail hours. But if you want to talk about something, you know,
I hate small talk.
Deep. If you want to talk about something serious, like, okay,
yeah,
I'm all in. I'm all in with
my,
anybody. But
fine,
like,
but that's only going
to
be my close friends.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so hard to sort of like close that gap.
We're going
to
pause for one moment. We'll
all
right, be right back.
Sorry. Peace.
We're back?
Now we're back.
We're back.
Okay. All right. Maybe we caught a little tail end of that. We're back. But
what
now
was,
we're
what
back.
What were we talking about?
Oh no! We may have to pause again to figure out what we've been talking about.
You can't
about.
Go retrack what you were talking about.
You know,
about.
You really can. I mean, I'm sure you at home. It's very presumptuous.
Sure.
It may just be me and Alan. But anyway,
no, you don't have to say that, because if there's one listener, then you're done. You don't have to go, oh, if there is, whatever. Even if, because if there's no listeners, you don't have to say that either.
It's true. All right. So I guess we can begin anew then.
I have come to love, as you know, I have an awesome terrace on my apartment.
That he does.
It's like, you know, it goes like the whole length of the apartment. And I never was into flowers, plants, whatever. Mm-hmm. I am so committed to keeping those fuckers alive.
It's a great thing.
I love it.
No, plant, you know, it's funny. When I got into gardening, I don't know, 12 years ago, my mother-in-law asked me to like plant some plants around the pool, and I did that for her, you know, for her. And since then, it's just this incredible, I don't know. I find it's like painting with nature. You know what I mean? It's like you're able to create this sort of work of art.
I agree.
With you know, flowers, and it's so real. It's three-dimensional, you know, and it's this beautiful splash of colors all over the place.
I agree.
So I think Swago should have had a gardening club.
Why wouldn't every camp have that?
I don't know. Like, you know what? It's a good idea.
Just make an area, like make a fucking kick-ass garden, like with beautiful flowers.
Right, and grow some food and stuff.
Why would you not cultivate the idea of like growing your own
right. Self-sustained, food, self-sustained, yeah, like right? solar-powered camp, you know?
I'm holding my mic now. I feel
he's off, right?
I'm like, I feel like I'm fucking...
He's going all out.
What was I saying to you as I was going, as we paused?
We were talking about live music, and I was on Broadway and stuff, and I was saying I get that from like a musical perspective, the live performance aspect of it, but not so much from theater.
Like, but I don't like it enough to go, but when I'm there, I appreciate
it. I don't like enough to go, but...
I'm going to make a bold statement here.
Uh-oh.
Book of Mormon sucked.
Everything sucks. Everything on Broadway sucks.
It's bored of my mind. Stupid. It was bad. It was just corny bullshit. It was bullshit.
Dude, I'm batting like 0.050 when it comes to Broadway.
All right, so Mwah and I have always in our quest to be intellectuals.
Oh shit! I know where he's going.
Yeah, I could do not where I'm going here. This is before psychedelic furs, right? Like this is maybe when we're 14 or whatever.
It's like early 80s, right?
Yeah, of course, we're 14 years old, and like we think that we're gonna really like to see Al Pacino. Who wouldn't like Al Pacino?
Amazing actor, isn't he?
You know, right? And we were all like Day Afternoon, whatever the hell he was in at that point. And he's performing in a David Mamet play, American Buffalo.
Which, by the way, imagine like two like 14-year-old kids by themselves.
Telling me now?
strolling into a show to see it together. It's hello.
We were ahead of our time. Unfortunately, it was in this tiny little theater. It was like a two-person, like there might have been a third person on the screen, like on the stage.
It was in the round.
It was like
too,
in the round.
Right?
And we were like in the second or third row, a little off center, whatever. And I remember Al Pacino spitting on everybody. And all I remember is we leave this play, and I turn to you and I'm like, did you understand a fucking word they were talking about?
Well, it was American
was about
American Buffalo.
And you're like, nah.
No.
I'm just like, what the fuck was that?
Not a damn thing, man. Like, and that was, you know, and that's sort of like, it was like, I don't know, Broadway's always been sort of the emperor's new clothes to me.
I totally you know, it's agree like, with that. I hate it. Like, it's like,
I like, here's the shows I liked. I like The Wiz.
One of my
back
friends,
in 75.
By the way. What? A girl ahead. I know, really nice girl.
Yeah.
Woman. Yeah, I don't know if any of my Brandeis girls are listening.
You know, the proper term
is in Motown. She's in the new Motown play, which I heard it's okay, whatever.
Very creative.
But she's talented enough to be in it. Props to Andrea Doris Smith.
You know, and I always say, like, regardless of how much I hate Broadway, the actors and the performers are amazing. They're
alive.
The best of the
That's
best.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. I appreciate it. Now, we were talking about something as I was in between about another sponsor.
Excuse us.
I'm in the internet marketing business.
Flyingpiemedia.com.
Thank you. If you need to have any search engine marketing, search engine optimization, affiliate marketing, social marketing, and more.
But we're not looking to do this for profiteering reasons.
No. But we're not a creative agency. We're all about media and getting sales. Anyway, I heard on one of the podcasts.
Is that your catchphrase?
It's just a fact of life. This is just reality.
Okay.
I get asked all the time. This is a fucking great testimonial right now, and these fucking guys should appreciate this because we're not even an affiliate, which we're going to be because I'm going to do this. I get approached all the time from people, and Howie knows we do some business stuff together.
Yeah, you know.
We'll get into more of that later as we go on. And people ask me all the time, I need a website. Can you build a website? And I'm like, look, no. It's a pain in the fucking ass. I don't even have the people who do it anymore. And I'm going to tell you a price to do it. And you're going to go, oh, my fucking God, I got to do it for cheaper, cheaper. There's a company, and I never understood why someone didn't start this, called Squarespace. And there's other companies.
I've heard of them on the Rogan podcast.
Rogan's a big, right? I'm telling you, and I'm in the internet marketing business. I just built my website for like $14 a month.
What's the your and your? What's the your?
My, for, okay, so I have a couple of businesses. One's called CrossPixel, and we're starting something new, a new marketing program, and we're creating a little website for it. And now to this point, I'm about to go build a second website for CrossPixel, my main business, to go replace what I have because of the experience that I've had doing this.
Okay.
They basically give you templates.
Right.
The templates and the UI that they have to manipulate what you want to do on this site for your site is totally user-friendly. The layman could do it. Anyone can do this.
You don't need to know any sort of language as
Nothing.
Far as programming.
You just literally upload a picture, put it in, upload the content you want, mix and match, do things, move things around, do what you want. We built one of the people in my office who has a little, you know, maybe they could do a little bit of graphical things that if you need to have a touch of savvy and knowing to do. But we built a site like that that looks like something I would have spent for, had employees to bill for $10,000-$15,000
really?
For clients.
Really?
Yeah. $14 a month.
Wow.
We're now going and replacing our CrossPixel website. I just redid my Flying Point site.
Wow.
Spent $5,000 on it, whatever, with some, you know, person to just, a freelance type of a person. And the sites look, I mean, I'll show it to you later. I mean, firstpartydigital.com. Go look if you want to look. It looks like a site that you used to have to pay money to build. And it's truly, if you want to do commerce, you want to sell something, it's $25 or something.
That's it.
Because we're not an affiliate, I don't give a fuck that I'm not giving the right prices, but it's close.
Right. You know, listen, we're only giving you good props here.
And we should join up, and if we get more than a listener, I think anyone who wants to build a website for anything you want to do, you want to sell a product.
I'm going to use them. Because I use for my attorney site. And
Attorney site, it is exactly what you need to use. You'll have a kick-ass site in 24 hours. That you're like, oh, I look like I've got it all.
I use oneandone.com, and same thing. Like,
Are they templates? Are they any good?
They have templates, but it's like, you know, it's pretty generic. It's not like you have amazing control over the artistry of what you're going to display, you know. So,
well, I know,
but
it gets the job done.
It was almost like, okay, great, this is great. It gets the job done.
Maybe one and one is the same thing, and maybe I do have someone in my office that can do it at a level. To up it a little bit, to add some graphical elements to it, which you do need to do, but that's finding images and finding pictures and doing what you want, you know, what you want with it. I know what, excuse me. I hope that didn't come through.
Yeah, you know, it may have a little.
I know One in One is another one of the template companies. It seems to me like Squarespaces are a little more, forward and progressive in terms of the style. But anyway, really satisfied, and anyone who wants to make a site, go to Squarespace. I don't have a referral code for you right now.
Squarespace, call us. Get on board, man.
We legitimately just plugged Squarespace because we wanted to talk about it on this podcast. So anyway, nonetheless.
So there it is.
I'm sure you're the kind of guy that makes websites. You'll like it. Lieberbaum. You could make your Swago t-shirt site. I'm sure you paid whatever you paid. $25 a month. You could sell tons of shit. Through this.
There you go.
Yeah.
Helping Swago peeps.
All right, my friends, let's move on to the next subject.
Well, I was going to say, just on, and staying with the Squarespace, like, it's funny because I'm almost confused with them because.
Is there a way to mute the mic so if I cough, I'm not coughing in everybody's ear? Like, can
you know,
I do something?
We should
on
say,
this?
Like, this is our first cast, so we're sort of experimenting with the equipment and technology and software and everything.
Transparently to
everybody. Is there a way to mute the mic?
We have cool mics, by the way. Burke, my son, is going to be here any moment, and he's going to take a picture, and we will have. At some point, like by tomorrow, because we're probably, as long as the sound's good, this is going to be live. We're probably going to create a Facebook page around it. And we're going to post our first pic. I think we need to put the first picture up of.
We do. We do. We should actually, like, we go on our annual canoe trip with, you know, our brothers and
other brothers.
We'll get onto that. But we should actually take a picture at the ski slope with us so that that becomes the, like, official.
For sure. We'll definitely do that. That's.
Assuming that exists.
One of the things, you know, so this is something that's going to be a subject on this, quite frankly, on this podcast, regardless of what our subject matter is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, six of us go on a trip every year, and it's basically we go relive camp for like three
nights. Sets of brothers, six, same as color leaders.
Howie,
it's all very
Adam and Johnny Liebner. It's beautiful, and we go and we camp out on a campground on the Delaware River, and basically just, you know, make an adult version of Swago experience.
Camp concentrate. That's
there
what I like
is Wi-Fi at the camp. However, we do not allow any communication.
No.
It's likely we'll do a podcast from there. I have a good fucking feeling.
You know,
I don't
know how the sound's going to be, but yeah, you know.
Why? What does that mean? Don't we need just this shit for the podcast?
Yeah, how are we going to plug this stuff in? Unless we got some solar panels flying, you know, I don't know. I mean, we could probably do
so
it.
We need electricity is what you're saying.
Something along those lines, you know, that or some coal powered, you know, mixers.
Well, we have, I think if we put my brother on it, he'll get a generator involved.
I don't know. We could probably do something because I every now and then, like Rogan, for instance, like it does
right,
a podcast
right,
from
right,
a plane right. And they'll do it like, you know,
gotta
from
have some self-sustaining
yeah,
battery
from an iPhone or a Droid phone or something like that. Or even there's a particular like recording device. It's it's very good. I guess
very
better
particular.
Than phones. Yes.
Very good. Good.
It's very good. It's better than your phone. So maybe we'll get one of those.
So we go up and we do this thing. We get on Swago Lake. We get our way onto the water. We have an awesome fucking time. It's great.
It is.
The highlight.
It is. You know what?
It's the highlight of my, as a matter of fact, I just happened and I have not been doing this
once in
this podcast.
I smell setup.
I see. No, there is no setup. This is legit shit.
I hear.
I see my phone blinking and who is it but Howie's brother.
Oh.
It's in your phone too. You just happen to be not looking. We are okay in 4 weeks.
edited.
It says soon. We are in PEX, which is
the local grocery store
where we just have a fucking blast buying all our food for every year. Or the camp,
very nice people.
Or the campground.
Brought you by PEX
with that love and feeling. CT 2016, 667 hours and counting.
The man calculated to the hour, which
fuck
goes to
man,
show
what
you
what good timing is that.
That's amazing that it would come up now, and that's the beauty of it. Like
this is our 22nd year. There was 1 year we didn't go. I didn't go on the first one or two. I'm not 100% sure which ones, but it's fucking.
It's a holiday. It's legitimate as Yom Kippur at this point.
It's the most authentic fucking holiday in my life.
It really is. And it represents everything that's good about camp. I mean, it represents that sort of coming together and just being with, you know, being with your friends and living together and just, you know, laughing a lot.
Did my phone just ring?
I think I heard a little ring. All right, we're going to keep it live here.
I don't care. Look, I have one of these. The only reason I have a phone is because...
A landline phone.
A landline is because when you get the triple play, like when you try and you sign up for like Time Warner, they convince you, whether it's true or not, you know, but they convince you that by getting the triple play, you're getting a cheaper price than if you just get the things you want.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, fine. If a phone comes with it, fine. And I do use it for outbound phone calls, and I did fucking put it on the do not call list, but for some reason people still call.
I know. We have to discuss that later on. Like the do not call list doesn't work.
Well, if that doesn't work, then.
I don't know what you're supposed to do, but it doesn't really work.
It's like, yeah, I agree. It's bullshit.
All right, so in any event, I mean, we're 57 minutes in here, so I think
this is a good time
this
to
is
just
it.
Wind down. Look, we're, any, I'm fucking psyched
ahead,
to do this.
Me too.
I'm glad we were here to talk to all of you people.
You
folks. I mean, obviously, the first podcast is going to have whatever interest it does have. I expect it will be amongst our Swago and Swatona brethren and sistren. What's the
sistren?
Sistren.
Sisterhood.
And Swago is a huge fucking part of both of our lives. It still is. And this is awesome, and we're going to – I'm having fucking the blast. We're going to keep doing this. And
we're going to have guests, right?
We
want to invite, like, other campers on to, like,
this is
be with
us. This is going to get posted bottom line way when you start promoting our shit, which I'm psyched to do. in about a minute. whenever it's possible.
Right. The second we shut this off.
We are psyched, like, people reach out to Moi on Howard Bender at
baseball. It's usually from Wah to Howard Bender.
It's real tough to find people these days. How do I track Howie down?
Right.
So reach out to him if you want to be a guest.
And anybody, we'd love to have
anyone
you.
Anyone.
You know, don't be bashful.
Peter Geller to Bobby Clausen to Ruben Birnbaum to Moose to Lieberbaum to
anybody.
The Liebner boys to Marty
Sertona. We want some Sertona too, man. I'd like to get a little, like, I mean,
like,
we should
hear from Sertona.
You know, I'd like to start with Swago. I got to be honest. I mean, I'd like to like sort of get like bring some Swago folk in.
I don't feel like I could have really.
I'm curious about Sertona. Like,
okay,
so much about Sertona is mysterious
fine,
to me.
I agree.
Like,
I
there
agree.
Was so much more.
Why did they get locks on Sunday?
We didn't. I know what kind of.
Where was the equality?
That was kind of bogus. Like,
that's
how come? Wait, the girls get it. We don't.
Did they do? I have a question. Did they do like the Rita ceremony thing? How much of a highlight in your life? I am so not religious. I don't even fucking believe in religion.
I go back and forth.
Whatever you know, to each their own. I believe in whatever everyone wants.
We'll get
to
there.
Anyway,
we'll talk about this.
But I look back on Rita. Doing the lighting of the candles.
Oh, our Rita.
Because
that was always confusing. There was Rita at Swetona and Rita at Swago, right? It's like two Ritas.
Alex Swedlow was not mentioned tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very interesting musical element to me.
All around.
I had a limited relationship with the guy.
Me too.
I
always felt it was like
all,
it was like he put he closed himself off from me a little bit.
I don't think he didn't. Don't take it so fucking personally.
Listen, man. I will speak of Alex as I will.
He wasn't closing himself off to you. He was doing his thing.
I wasn't that important to him. I, you know. Listen.
He doesn't know who you are.
I was a very, you know, narrative kid.
Swedlow. Is he a friend of yours on Facebook?
He is.
He's me too.
So he's not
this.
That closed off.
but such a
beacon in a way of like Swagoness.
Right, because he was Rita's son.
Yes, he had that.
He was a...
Like, other than Tim Brody, he was the guy who was, like,
he was the
most...
the other son of owner.
Yeah,
like, that was... That's a whole other subject.
Yeah, Tim, we'd love to have you on, man. Like, you're a guy, too. We love you, so...
Are you friends with him on Facebook?
I am. But he's not. He's never ever... Yeah, but, like, I'm friends with Tim, period. You know, it's like...
Marion and Lisa are there.
Marion and Lisa, too, I'm friends with.
Yeah. I am as well.
Yeah. And they were always cool.
Is he on Facebook?
He's not, which is sort of...
A lot of people. Johnny and Adam aren't on it. Lenny's not on it.
Johnny is on it.
Johnny is.
You wouldn't know it, but he is. But yeah, Adam and Lenny are not now. But John is. But John's one of those guys that still has the profile picture where it's like,
what?
Oh, that white gray? Alfalfa thing. You know, it's like it's,
you mean the grayed white out thing?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not really a picture,
there's no like, photo of him. You know.
Well, this has been fucking awesome.
This has been, man.
Talk to us. We're going to start a Ski Slope, the Ski Slope fan page, probably on Facebook.
We'll get it going.
Not fan. That's the stupidest word in the world. We
like
just,
us. Like us on Facebook.
Let me just say, we did joke a little bit about like commercials.
We have no concept of where we're going with this, but we're just enjoying ourselves.
I have no intention.
Alan does.
This is not a commercial enterprise.
No.
I have no intention.
Hey, man, let's start a podcast and like we'll make millions.
Little do you know, this is going to be the biggest fucking
If it
thing
is,
ever.
It is. But like, it's not our. But I just want to be clear that it's not our intention
and
to do that.
We are
out, yo. Enjoy it. Peace.